بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. One of the ayat that the Imam just recited in the last rak'ah is the conclusion of Surah Maryam. There's a very interesting verse. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَّقْضِيًّا. That every single one amongst you will have to pass over it or through it. This is a necessary thing. كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَّقْضِيًّا. It has been decreed. And it is necessary that every one of you will be passing through it or over it. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And then we're going to save those who are righteous. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. And we will leave the wrongdoers in it to be trampled in and to be falling into. What is this a reference to? The Qur'an itself doesn't give us an indication, but the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ tell us and clarify to us what is this verse referring to. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this verse is a reference to the fire of hell. Every one of you will be, it says, wariduha. Warada means, it could either mean to go through, or it could mean to go over. And so, when the Prophet ﷺ explained this verse, Aisha became astonished. She said, O Messenger of Allah, didn't Allah say in another verse that the believers will not taste the punishment at all? And so the Prophet ﷺ clarified, yes, they're not going to taste the punishment. This verse is a reference to the bridge they're going to cross over and not through. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Everyone amongst you will have to, the translation is, go over it. Not to go through it. Aisha understood to go through it. Warada could also mean to go through. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Everyone amongst you will go over it. This is كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. This is something that has been necessarily decreed by Allah. There's two emphases. حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. There's the same meaning. You have to. It is qada that Allah has decreed. Now, I thought therefore that I'll use this verse as a springboard to talk a little bit about, in a nutshell, we only have 10 minutes, in a nutshell, what are the, what does our Sharia say about the end of times and about the Day of Judgment itself? Very briefly, our Prophet ﷺ predicted there were going to be many signs of the Day of Judgment. And these signs are divided into two categories, minor and major. Minor signs are plenty. And they are typically not something specific. They are a trend. So one of the trends, for example, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. This is one of the minor signs. Another trend is that the number of women will be more than the number of men. Another trend is that ignorance will prevail. Another trend is that your rulers and leaders will be corrupt. And it goes on and on and on. And there's no doubt that when you look at what's happening today in the world, subhanAllah, so many of the minor signs are being met. So much so the famous hadith that all of you know, Sahih Bukhari, one of the minor signs of the Day of Judgment is that barefoot shepherds are going to compete with one another in building tall buildings. And as you know, currently there is a little bit of a turf war going on between, I don't want to mention countries' names here, but specific countries that whose fathers and grandfathers were literally barefoot Bedouins. And now one country is building a 1.5-mile tower, another wants to make 2 foot higher, and then they're building a 2 foot higher there. And just now I heard they're building yet another 3 foot or 30 feet higher. Exactly as the Prophet ﷺ said, it's happening in the lands whose ancestors were barefoot shepherds. And on, these are the minor signs. These minor signs will continue. The last of the minor signs is going to be the coming of the Mahdi alayhi salam. And we as Ahlul Sunnah also believe in a Mahdi, but a very different concept than the other group. We have our own concept. So we believe in a Mahdi, that's the last of the minor signs. When the Mahdi comes, the first of the major signs will begin. And that is the coming of Dajjal. And that is one of the greatest trials and tribulations that the world has ever seen. And our Prophet ﷺ said, there has been no prophet from Nuh until the Day of Judgment, except that he's warned his nation against Dajjal. And I'm going to tell you a number of things, of the things that he said. Whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will be protected from the Dajjal. And we recited Surah Al-Kahf yesterday. So this is something we should memorize. The first 10 verses of Kahf, whoever memorizes them will be protected from Dajjal. Dajjal is the first of the 10 signs. The 10 major signs are specific incidents. And these 10 signs, the Prophet ﷺ said, when one of them comes, the rest will come basically one after the other, like a domino. When one of them comes, the other 10 will follow very short period of time. The coming of Isa and the great earthquakes and this and that and the coming of the Dabba and the destruction of the Kaaba. All of these are going to come very quickly after the other. And the last of the 10 signs will be the rising of the sun from the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when that happens, يَوْمَيْذٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ نَفْسٌ إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. When that sign is seen, everybody will believe. SubhanAllah, even after Dajjal and Isa comes down, there are still going to be people who don't believe. But when that sign is seen, everybody will believe. And Allah says, nope, on that day, it doesn't matter. And on that day that the sun rises from the west, that will be the day of judgment. That is the last day of humanity as we know it. And that will be the time when the trumpet will be blown. And the Quran mentions there's going to be two trumpets that are blown. The first trumpet that is blown, every single creation will fall dead. And there will be no living soul. So much so that the riwayat and the reports tell us that the only being that will be left standing, the last, is the angel of death. Allah will then take the soul of the angel of death. And the angels never taste death. But at this point in time, even the angels will fall down. And at that point in time, there will not be a single living entity in the entire creation, the samawat and ard. And then Allah will ask, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To whom does the kingdom belong now? And there will be nobody to answer. And after Allah knows how many millions or billions or eons of years, Allah will then answer Himself, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. That the mulk belongs to Allah alone, الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. And then the second trumpet will be blown. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. The second time the trumpet will be blown, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And that is when humanity will be resurrected instantaneously. And they will be resurrected instantaneously in a world that is completely different. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. That on that day, the ard and the samawat are not the ard and the samawat we know. غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضِ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. It's not going to be what we're accustomed to. It's a complete different creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each and every human being will be resurrected. The day of judgment itself, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, it is mentioned in around 100 verses of the Qur'an. Out of 114, around 100 verses mention يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And it is a fundamental pillar of our religion. And Allah proves it in so many different ways that Allah says, isn't the one who created you the first time capable of recreating you again? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, haven't you seen the land being dead and then it becomes green after I send the rain down? I can do the same. And so many other ways that Allah proves this, that there is going to be a yawm al-qiyamah. And the yawm al-qiyamah is described in many ayat and ahadith, but it describes specific things of the Day of Judgment. It's difficult to form a comprehensive picture of what's going to happen first, then second, then third, then fourth. This is something that is a little bit difficult to piece together. Our scholars have attempted to do so. And very briefly, the Day of Judgment itself, the Qur'an says it's going to be 50,000 years of your reckoning. يَوْمَنْ كَانَ مِغْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. 50,000 years of your reckoning. However, for the believers, this time will go by, like the Prophet ﷺ said, as the time between Asr and Maghrib. As the time, just Asr and Maghrib, how much time? This is going to go by like that. But for the disbelievers, for the non-Muslims, this is going to be a torture in and of itself. And on this day, on the Day of Judgment, there will be no water other than the water that is provided by the hawd, or the pool of every prophet. Every prophet will be given a pool of water. And the only people who get to drink from the pool are the believers in the prophet. And the largest pool will be the pool of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he will personally be inviting. You have to get an invitation to drink. And he will be inviting his ummah. And the sahaba said, how will you know your ummah? And we're going to be so many and you haven't seen all of them. He said, I will recognize them from the effects of wudu. Their hands and their foreheads. Yo, inna ummati yatuna yawm al-qiyamati ghurran muhajjalina min athar al-wudu. Their hands and their foreheads and their limbs are going to be shining bright from the effects of wudu. So looking at humanity, anybody who's been doing wudu regularly, our Prophet will recognize him and he will call him out to drink from the hawd. And once you drink from the hawd, the thirst of the Day of Judgment will be quenched. You're not going to feel thirsty on that day. There's also only one shade on the Day of Judgment, and that is the shade of the throne of Allah. And that is the shade of the throne of Allah. And that is why one of the du'as that we make, Allahumma adhillana tahta dhilli arshik. Oh Allah, shade us under the shelter of your shade when there is no shade other than your shade. That day is going to become a torture in and of itself. And the people, Muslim and non-Muslim, are all going to gather together and begin discussing, what can we do? How can we get over this day? The day itself is torture, and the kafir will be ready to accept the fire of hell rather than to continue the day of judgment. And so Muslim and non-Muslim, the whole humanity will come together and they will go and ask first and foremost Adam alayhi salam. And they will say, oh Adam, you are our father and Allah created you with His hands and He blew His spirit into you. Why don't you go to Allah and beg Him to start the day of judgment? And Adam will say, I committed a sin I should not have done. I ate from the tree. I am worried about myself. I don't care about you. I'm worried about myself. Nafsi, nafsi. Go to somebody else. Go to Nuh. They will go to Nuh. Nuh will say the same thing. And he'll mention a sin. He thinks it's a sin that he's done. He'll say, go to somebody else. They will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He will say the same thing. Go to somebody else. I'm worried about myself. They'll go to Musa alayhi salam. He will say, I killed the Qibti, the Coptic in Egypt. I killed him and I'm worried about that. And I'm worried about myself. Go to somebody else. They're going to go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will also say, I'm worried about myself. Go to somebody else. And they will go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of humanity, from the first to the last, from the Muslim to the kafir, from the ins to the jinn, all of humanity as a delegation will go to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will say, Ya Rasulullah, Allah chose you above the creation, and Allah made you the Khatim al-Anbiya, and Allah did this and Allah did that. Why don't you go to Allah and plead with Him to begin the day of judgment, to begin the reckoning, the hisab? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Ana laha, ana laha. This is my responsibility. This is my responsibility. And this is called al-maqam al-mahmud. This is called the praiseworthy station, that the Prophet ﷺ will be praised by the entire creation for doing this shafa'ah. And that will begin the day of judgment. And the day of judgment will begin by setting up mawazin. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We're going to place mizan, scales. And there's going to be scales for every single person. You will have your own scale waiting for you. And there's going to be three types of people when it comes to the scale. Three types of people. The first, يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They're going to enter Jannah without any hisab, which means they skip the scales. And this is going to be the elite of the elite. Not even the average elite, if you like, if there's such a thing. This is going to be the highest, the creme de la creme, as they say. The Prophet ﷺ said that there's going to be only 70,000 people. Now you think 70,000 is a huge amount. Do the calculations. Right now we're 1 billion Muslims. Add to that all the Muslims from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Add to that till the day of judgment. And then he said there's going to be 70,000, which is then a drop in the bucket. 70,000, they will enter Jannah without hisab. In one version he says, for every one of these, Allah will grant another 70,000. So you do the math, it's 1.49 million. Still, 1.49 million is not, you know, it's not that much. Nonetheless, this is going to be يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They don't even have to go through the hisab. There's not going to be a weighing. And this is what we strive and ask Allah for, even though we realize it's going to be for that elite. Who they are, that's a topic of another discussion. The second category when it comes to the hisab is that they're going to have a generic hisab. The Prophet ﷺ made a dua to Allah that, oh Allah, we want حَاسِبْنَا حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. We want to have an easy hisab. Aisha asked, what does this mean? What is a hisab and yasira? And so the Prophet ﷺ said, this is just the ard. This is just to show. It's not going to be each individual item. It's going to be, how do I say this? A general check, if you like, right? It's a general sheet. You're not going to be stopped for every individual item, right? There's not going to be a tax accountant coming and stopping you. Right? That it's a general, like most of our tax IRS just takes it without looking. But when they do an audit, what happens? We begin to sweat and we begin to make dua to Allah and what that. So this is hisab yasir, that you just let it go. And this will be given for the righteous of the believers. The average righteous of the believers who have done good and who have minimal sins, their hisab will be generic hisab. The rest of mankind, this is the kafir and the fasiq, i.e. the non-Muslim and the Muslim with very weak iman, that person will be getting an individualized hisab. Every single point. Didn't you do this? Didn't you do that? Why did you do this? And that will be a torture in and of itself. For the Muslims, some of them, this type of hisab will be their punishment and Allah will forgive them. Because of that punishment. Because simply being questioned by Allah is of course a punishment. And some of them deserve just that much punishment. So this hisab is their punishment that will cause them to then enter Jannah. They've gotten rid of the sin that they have. For others, this punishment is the beginning of yet further punishment. When the hisab is over, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy all lights. There will be no lights at all. Everything will be إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. The sun will be enveloped into itself and the stars will disappear and the moon will vanish. There's not going to be a single source of light. That is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give each of us an individual light. Our bodies will begin to shine the light of iman. And the stronger was our iman, the stronger will our bodies be shining the light. يَوْمَ إِذَا تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. On that day, you will find the believers, their nur is coming forth in front of them. And this nur will guide them. Now, you cannot be guided by anybody else's nur. You have to be guided by your own nur. Where will the nur guide you? It will guide you to the sirat. Because the hisab is finished, but you're still not close to Jannah. You need to get to Jannah. And you need to go to Jannah. And the believers will use their light to find the sirat, to cross over it, and then to get to Jannah. If you don't have the light, what's going to happen? The Jahannam is right there because the sirat or the bridge is over Jahannam. Right? That's what a sirat is. It's over Jahannam. And if you don't get the bridge, you fall in. And if you slip on the bridge, you fall in. So the majority, the bulk of mankind, they're not even going to find the sirat. Even those who find it, the Prophet ﷺ said that on the sirat, when people are walking, there are going to be claws and hooks coming out. Just like you see in movies or in cartoons, these concepts are in humanity. Allah put it in there. There are going to be claws coming out from Jahannam. There are going to be claws coming out, taking people who don't deserve to cross over. Even if they found it with their light, still it wasn't strong enough to get over. Also, the light will be proportional to the iman, and also the speed at which you cross over the sirat will be proportional to your iman as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and I find this a very deep hadith in a physical sense, those who are interested in Einsteinian physics, the Prophet ﷺ said that the fastest of them will go like the speed of light, kalbarq, right? The number one category, we know, and from what we know, this is the fastest speed, as we know, in modern physics. And the Prophet said, the fastest of them will go like the speed of light. And then he said, and then there were going to be people going as if they're on the fastest horse imaginable. And then, so he keeps on going down. So the bottom line, the stronger your iman, the stronger the light, and the faster you go over the sirat. And the sirat is not a normal bridge. The Prophet ﷺ said, the sirat is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. Thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. You can only cross if Allah allows you to cross. And at the end of the sirat will be all the prophets of Allah waiting for their ummah to cross over. And all of them will be saying the same thing. Sallim Allahumma sallim. Sallim Allahumma sallim. Oh Allah, peace. Oh Allah, peace. Because they want their ummah to cross over. And as they cross over, still there's one marhala, there's one phase left. Of course, to cross over the sirat means, alhamdulillah, you're basically in Jannah. But right between the sirat and the door of Jannah, there is one large area. The hadith called it the qantara. The hadith called it the qantara. And this is the final stage. The qantara will be for the righteous believers who have overall entered Jannah. They're good people, but they have sins related to men. Backbiting, stealing, slander, doing something wrong to another person. You see, Allah can forgive what's between him and us. But if you slander somebody else, you need to have that person forgive you as well. And that's going to be the qantara. Allah's hisab is finished. Now the hisab that you have done, the wrong that you have done to other people, that will be the qantara. And the majority of people who get to the qantara is going to be a readjustment of the level of Jannah. So instead of going to a high level, you might go lower because of something that you have done for somebody else. As we said, backbiting, slander, ghiba, whatnot. This is going to lower your level and it's going to, your hasanat will be given to this person and that person will get a higher place because of what you have done. this is the qantara. And that is the final stage, after which inshaAllah ta'ala will be the doors of Jannah. Now, bottom line is, all of this, it comes with iman bil ghayb. This is not science, this is not, you cannot prove it. It comes with our iman. And if we truly believe in these texts, and if we truly believe in the message of the Qur'an, we should be thinking and visualizing and fearing this day. And Allah talks about this day, as we said, in over 100 surahs. And Allah mentions, this is a day, يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. It is a day when the young children themselves will become old men. And our Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr said to our Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, I see that your hair has grown white. What is the matter with that? Why has your hair grown white so fast? And so he said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. That what has made me white is Surah Hud. And another hadith he said, أَنْ عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ أَنْ إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. And he mentioned 3 or 4 surahs. These surahs have made my hair grow white. And if you look at each one of these surahs, the bulk of it deals with the Day of Judgment. And the description of the Day of Judgment, our Prophet's hair grew white thinking about the Day of Judgment. Where do we stand? And how often do we ever think about it? This is something that we need to compare about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are prepared for the Day of Judgment, and who have thabat when we are questioned, and who give us easy hisab, and who can cause us to enter Jannah بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ وَآخْرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Just a fiqh point. If anybody comes late to the masjid and the salah is going on, the correct position is that they should not start a second jama'ah in the back, because this is having two jama'at at once, and this is something that our sharia does not like, that you have two groups praying in the same masjid in front of each other. Rather, what you should do is that you join the prayer that is taking place. The imam is praying taraweeh, your niyyah is to pray isha in this case. Your niyyah will be to pray isha, and it is allowed for the niyyah of the imam and the ma'moom to be different. And this is authentically narrated in a number of traditions, that sometimes some of the sahaba would pray isha with the Prophet ﷺ, and then they would go back to their masajid and be the imams. So they're praying nafil, and the people behind them are praying fard. So it is not necessary that the niyyah of the imam be the same as the niyyah of the ma'moom or the one behind him. Therefore, if you come late, so if you catch the first rak'ah of the 2 rak'ahs of Taraweeh, you pray these 2 rak'at. When the imam says salam, you stand up and you pray another 2 individually by yourself, and you pray quickly, and then you say salam, and then you join when the imam has left off. If you only catch 1 rak'ah of the 2, that rak'ah is your first rak'ah, and then you pray another 3 after that. But and again, I mean, some people are doing this, I don't want to be too harsh, but this causes a little bit of confusion, and it goes against really the goals of the sharia to have 2 jama'at at the same time. And you will get the ajr of jama'at because you are in the masjid and you're praying in jama'at. So there's no need for a second jama'at. This is a fiqh, a brief fiqh point.